I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
It was a defensive exercise.
Yeah, best defense is a good offense.
Or is it the other way around?
Welcome to Prattleworld. I'm your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. Welcome back, guys. This is another edition of Secret Defenders, where I get guests on to defend their underappreciated, overlooked, forgotten gems of films that they love, that we bring to the attention of the mainstream audience. And I have another guest on, and believe it or not, it's a lady.
Hey, guys.
Alice Topson is here to discuss Belleville Rendezvous.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. Is it afternoon?
It's the evening.
It is definitely the evening, but it might be the afternoon when somebody's listening.
Well, I'm appreciating everyone.
Appreciating all the different time zones. Well, we do have a lot of people who listen outside of the UK as well.
That's very exciting.
People in America. In Europe, in Korea, yeah, I don't know why, don't know how, but people are listening and downloading in all those crazy places, and we do appreciate the listeners. So, how are you?
I'm very good today. I had been in work, it was fine, but I was very excited to watch the film we watched today. It's been a long love of mine that I've liked. Oh. Since I was 13, and that's my phone going off.
It's all right. Should we just wait for the phone to stop going off? Could it be an important call? Are you waiting? Somebody? No, nobody important. Who are they? Time to fuck off.
Probably my dad, but it's fine.
Well, I don't want to tell your dad to fuck off because that would just be rude. Sorry, Dad.
It's finished.
It's all right. If you heard the mass vibration, it's all right. It happens. You know, this is live.
It won't
be live, but
it is live.
It's live right now, and we're alive.
Living our lives.
So you've been at work all day. I've taken it quite easy today. I've done very, very little.
Sounds great.
Bit of shopping. Bought us a DVD player for tonight.
Very appreciated DVD player.
Yes, because you didn't have one, did you?
I didn't have one. I'm trying to remember where my DVDs are.
Ooh.
I have lots, but I honestly don't remember whether in a charity shop.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can buy them back.
I could.
So let's talk about us a bit more.
Okay.
So how do we know each other?
We know each other from work.
From work, yeah.
I have worked at my work for 4 years. Dan has been at our
Well, not officially. Officially is only about 3 months. Unofficially, it's since last April.
Yes. And me and Dan met through me training him how to do the job.
Yes, because I still don't know how to do it.
He does know how to do the job, but yeah.
Not as good. I'm just not as good as you are.
It was nice. We talked a lot about films and the outside world, outside work.
Yes, which we go, outside, where is it? What's happening?
I won't say who we work for.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we going to mention?
This company is very all-encompassing, if you want it to be.
Yes. Yeah, it's a large retail company. Big name in the UK.
Yes.
And we service some people outside the UK as well, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
But yes, so if you want to ask me privately what this strange, mysterious... Sounds like some sort of evil corporation, doesn't it?
I wish it was an evil corporation.
Who knows? Maybe if some news came to light.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, Skynet or Cyberdyne or any of these horrible, you know, evil corporations from films.
And also me and Dan went to the Christmas party together.
We did, didn't we? Yes.
That was our first night out, I believe.
It was a lot of fun as well.
And Dan wore the best suit possible.
I did. What did I wear?
you wore a Batman suit.
Yes. Did you find? I wasn't saying I forgot you.
I was just hoping I got it right.
Yeah, and I'm still getting comments about that now. They're like, good. Dan, you wore that Batman suit. Someone called me Bat Dan the other day. I was like, no, you know, the podcast has a different name.
Yeah.
but no, it was a suit that I didn't have to dry clean, so that was good.
True.
But yeah, it looks pretty snappy actually.
I have only just gotten my dress cleaned.
Really?
Since. Remember that December?
Oh, yeah, it was late December?
Early December?
I can't remember. December.
8th of December?
It was 8th of December, yeah. That seems right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how we know each other. Not known each other that long, really. No. Not personally.
But we actually live basically across the road from each other.
Yeah, like surprisingly close. Like yes. It's a 5-10 minute walk for me to get here, so it's great.
I live in a nicely heated flat, whereas Dan lives in the tundra.
Yeah, pretty much the ice. I mean, the icy vortex, the one that's troubling Chicago at the moment. That's where I live. I have a very my flat's fine. I've had guests there. It's all right. It's not. I downplay how bad it is. You know, it's not that. But there are very small radiators and a very high ceiling, which is not... No. It takes me about... I have to leave the heating on for about 2 hours until it gets to a decent kind of temperature. But I snuggle up under the heated blanket. Yeah. That's my... Or I have a hot shower.
Great. So I treated Dan to some real heating today.
And I'm feeling very warm because we had a bit of wine. Well, we thought it was wine.
We had some port.
We had port.
And then we had what we thought was wine, but turned out to be sherry. It's a very Christmassy vibe tonight. It's all alcohol left over from Christmas, basically.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that kind of fits in with the film that we're going to talk about. Yeah. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the film that we are discussing?
The film we are discussing is Belleville Rendezvous. Mm-hmm. It was released in 2002, and I believe that was the year that I saw it for the very first time. And it's a French film with no talking.
So there's no dialogue.
There's
whatsoever.
No dialogue. Yeah. That's the right word to use. Yes. But lots of music.
There's no words.
It's animation.
Mm.
And it's a very funny film, but with very dark moments in it.
Yeah, very. It's quite anti-Disney, isn't it? It's got that kind of whimsy and that fun and that fat, like all ages kind of feel to it.
Yes.
But yet, it does have, like you said, it does have its kind of darker moments. But it's also very family friendly, I feel, as well.
No, I think anyone could watch it of any age. Mm. I don't think there was any. I mean, there was a naked woman in the beginning.
Oh yes, I did forget about that. Yeah,
there was one naked woman.
So there's bare breasts.
But based on a real person, found out. So that's actually quite interesting.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of historical kind of, because it's a French film. There's a lot of kind of French elements to it, like. The main character, well, technically not the main character, but the main one it focuses on, the male in the male lead, is it's like a cyclist. It's like a young boy who becomes a cyclist, and his grandmother kind of, you know, ushers him on.
Trains him
and, you know, and keeps his momentum going in regards to doing this. It's got that old school hand drawn.
I'd say it was kind of based in the 1920s, though. It was definitely around that era.
Oh, you mean like the style of animation?
The style of animation, but also the characters and what is happening throughout the film is very kind of, you know, it's not current.
There is a bit of like Art Deco style and kind of that 1920s, roaring 20s feel to it. I think it's really interesting.
And there's this one film that carries on throughout the whole of the movie that is the first song you hear at the beginning, sung by these three women, three flapper women.
They're kind of like the flappers.
And that is put throughout the whole film at every situation that's happening. They will come into it and sing that song, will be sung by them.
It's kind of like the through line throughout the picture. It keeps going back to the
Belleville
Rendezvous.
Exactly.
But it's quite a catchy tune, to be fair. Like, and I, like you were saying, there's no dialogue, but visually it's quite easy to follow, isn't it?
Yes, not... and I don't think you need dialogue. I think you understand exactly what is happening, and especially because the male lead, as a young child, gets a dog, and that dog grows with him. And he is, I'd say he's one of the main characters in it, the dog. He really...
Yeah, he is actually, thinking about it. He
carries the story through with him.
Yeah, like we even see the dog's dreams, don't we? And how he dreams and, you know. But yeah, he's very much, it's very fully fleshed out as a character.
Yeah.
And I think it does, it kind of is full circle. Or, you know, we see the characters age and go on and progress throughout the story. I think that's really important, really, really nice to kind of see characters age and stuff.
Yes.
So the style of animation, like we were saying, it's kind of anti-Disney. It has that kind of, and I feel like it feels like, do you remember those old Disney movies, like Robin Hood or something, where the animation, and Jungle
Book? It was like drawn.
Yeah, hand-drawn.
Hand-drawn animation. I would say that was very, it was like that, but not as... soft, maybe, as their Disney film.
No, the features on the characters are very kind of hardened, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're very there's a grotesque kind of beauty to the characters and the way they're depicted. The main character has this giant kind of Roman nose.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's almost kind of disturbing how big it is, because you can't really, that's like his entire face is his nose.
Every time you kind of focus on that main character, it's always from his nose, from the bottom of his nose to the top, and it just keeps on going.
Yeah, you kind of sit on the tip of his nose. But and then look up.
I also think noses are probably quite a big vision for this film. So there is a mafia.
Yes, as a kind of the villain group, of the piece, yeah.
And the villain of the piece has a really bulbous red nose, so you're very aware of that also.
Pimply, and it looks like he's been drinking a lot throughout this. You know, he's got one of those kind of, those horrible big tomato.
So I would say noses are very important in this film.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of kind of depictions like wine and stuff, isn't there? There's a lot of kind of, because obviously, you know, French love their wine. So what they're about. But yeah, there's a lot of kind of depictions of like people sniffing and doing things. But like I think you brought it up during when we were watching the film. You were saying that the fat ladies aren't just fat; they're
grotesquely humongous. Fat.
You know, humongous, large. Like I think the first image we see is a fat lady.
Yes,
and she's sat on a small gentleman. He's stuck in her bottom, basically.
So I think in this film, they're really not kind of making things easy for the viewer.
No.
I don't think they want you to think like, oh, well, this is nice and soft and everything's going to be okay. Mm. Because throughout the film, things continuously get worse and worse and worse.
More dangerous, yeah.
More dangerous.
Yeah. So they're not, yeah. I think there's, it's kind of speaks to, you know, what beauty is, what we consider beauty to be. Like, we have these preconceived notions of what we find beautiful and what people would, you know, tradition, like that traditional form of beauty, you know. And I think that's what this film challenges us to kind of view, is kind of we're seeing, you know, there's these lovely characters in it. Yeah, they look quintessentially not attractive, you know, to our... You know, our Western, you know, the male gaze, per se, because they're all, most of the main characters are female. You know, not quintessentially the standard norm of what we consider attractive, but you love them, you fall in love with these characters, because they are who they are, not because of their looks, because that's just. And I found that really interesting.
I did as well. I think the main thing I found interesting when I first watched this film, and again watching it this time, is the way that they use noise in this film. So we were watching a part of the film and there was a frog that had jumped out of frog soup. It was an alive frog. And he jumped onto train lines.
Yeah.
And you heard a train coming and then it cut away to the dog and all you hear is a kind of a plop.
Kind of like it's like a squish or something.
And you know that frog is dead, but you didn't have to see the frog dying to understand that the frog was dead.
Exactly. Basically. I think that was really clever. Like I burst out laughing because I think I've got a bit of a dark sense of humor. But it's a lot like Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, where you think you see the penetration of the knife during the shower scene, but you actually never do. You never see that. It's never done. And they're like, no, I saw it. I saw it. And they're like, no, you didn't, because it was never in there.
No.
But people's imagination is so powerful. Because I think you were, I had the exact opposite reaction to you. You were like, oh, no. And I was like, You know, but that's, I mean, the fact that it got two different responses.
Yeah.
From two different people, but in that one moment, I think that's a really good bit of animation there, and a big good, like definitely. You said, a good use of sound.
Yes, no, really good. I feel maybe we should have found this out before, but who did the music? You know,
should we have a look? Should I have a look? I have a thing here, a device that can give me knowledge from afar. So the music. Let's have a look.
The music.
Who did the lovely, lovely music? Composer was Benoit Charest.
Okay.
Don't know if they've done anything else. Should we have a look? Benoit Charest has also done a lot of films I've never heard of.
Oh, okay.
I imagine they're all French films. Yeah, mostly known for Belleville Rendezvous. So that's probably his most famous work.
But I would quite like to know from the listeners what other French films people have seen, watched, because we were trying to
kind of figure out what
other French films are kind of...
I'm actually kind of... This is the third French film I've seen in the last 2 weeks. I watched a film called Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Okay.
Which is kind of a weird mishmash of genres. It's a historical piece, monster movie, martial art epic.
What?
Yeah, it's a weird mishmash, and it kind of works and kind of doesn't. I'm kind of a bit in the middle of the road about it. I'm still thinking whether I really, really enjoyed it or not. Mm-hmm. I saw Amelie, which I loved, but I also missed a lot. There's a lot of detail in Amelie and a lot of little kind of minutia that I missed, but I still love the film. And then I saw this. But yeah, there's not many French films I can think of that I've seen.
No.
But I do want to see more. I do really, because I've heard so much about French cinema and how interesting it is and how, you know, groundbreaking it was, you know, all these, and how many French films are remade as well. So let's move on to my next question. Mm-hmm. I have them here. You were saying, when and where did you discover the film?
So I think I was 13 when I watched this film the first time, and I think it was my mother who found the film. I think it was, there used to be a old cinema near where we lived, and I think they were just showing it at the cinema, and we went to see it.
It was just kind of a random choice. Yeah. You weren't like begging your mum to go see it or anything.
No. But I mean, I enjoyed cinema from a very young age to now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just a choice for us to go and watch it. Yeah.
Just like a random. I think sometimes that's when you find your favourite films, is when you're not actually looking for something. You're not necessarily looking forward to it. It's just like a random. Like, I used to pick up DVDs from HMV and just kind of pick out films and just go give that a go. If you don't like it, I'll return it.
The reason why I was talking to this film with Dan is I have a younger brother, and my mum said, Alice, what kind of individual films can I get him to watch? And this one just popped into my head.
Like straight away.
Straight away, this film. And I think one of the main reasons that I loved it so much is because after watching the film, I went out and brought the soundtrack.
Really?
Because I loved it so much.
Wow, so you own the soundtrack as well?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Mm.
Wow. Well, there you go. I have skipped this question, but I'm going to go back to it.
That's fine.
Like, how do we describe the plot for this movie? Because it's kind of a bit odd, because we were trying to figure it out as we were watching it, I think.
Could you call it a coming-of-age?
A coming-of-age story? No. The most basic level, I think the plot is about the kidnapping.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you think that was that different?
For me, it's different. Okay. For me, I viewed it as a young child growing up with what we have to assume is without parents and being brought up by his grandmother with this love of cycling, to which he becomes a famous cycler.
Yeah.
And then things go wrong.
Yeah,
then he does get kidnapped.
Yeah, things deteriorate. I think for me...
I wouldn't focus on that point. I think there's more to it than that. But, you know...
I think that's when all the action kind of comes into it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good... That part's a good grounding, but I think that's just purely the first part of the movie.
Yeah.
He's clearly this, you know, melancholic, you know, young French boy. You know, he's not happy. His grandmother's trying to, you know...
Teach him to be a pianist, and he doesn't want that.
Not interested in that. She's trying to make him, you know, distract him from, you know, his sadness, gets him a dog, quite happy with the dog, but the dog, there's a bit where she gets him the dog and like, oh wow, a dog, and then the next scene is him just sat really sadly looking at the floor, and the dog sat there looking at the floor with him,
so it's kind of like,
they're just both sad. And she discovers discovers bits of her newspaper missing, like cut holes, and she's like, what's going on here? And then she finds this kind of scrapbook full of all the cycling thoughts, announcements and pictures and stuff, and buys him a bike. And then, I think for me, it would have been a coming of age story if we saw the development.
Yeah, because you see the scrapbook, and then the next scene is him as an adult cycling with her behind him with her whistle.
Yeah.
And I think her and that whistle is one of the main things in the storyline. Mm. She has a whistle to train him with, but then you see her later on in the film with a broken down car and a man changing the tire, but she's still using her whistle to make him go faster. And it's just beautiful, like this is disabled old woman just kind of facing the world and making things happen for her.
Exactly, like she's definitely got the most agency in it. And again, if it was a coming of age story, we would see his development.
Yeah, I understand.
His challenges, him growing like step by step, but
you don't see that.
It's kind of like, you know, the story of Jesus. He's like, you know, we don't see him grow. He's like, you know, he's born and then he's 30 years old.
And then
you know,
Jesus.
It's kind of like, oh, it's just full grown, but Jesus, you know, full Jesus mode. You don't see that kind of progression.
No.
But I think for me, basically, it's kind of a Tour de France kind of thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He's doing a kind of cycling, and then he gets tired and he gets kidnapped by the mafia.
Yeah.
And Granny it's her mission to save him.
Yeah.
And she is the best character in the film for me.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. She has three other women alongside her towards the end that are the women from the song at the beginning.
Yeah, so it's kind of set in the 20s.
They've aged.
Yeah.
Delightfully, but they're all just kind of together, these old ladies taking on the mafia.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
You know, a fat dog, you know, a disabled lady's got, you know, she's got one leg shorter than the other, she's got a special boot for herself, she's got a lazy eye, and you've got these three mad women who are constantly like it's like they're in Stomp or something, because everything, they're just like, they're hitting their teapots trying to make noise and
trying to make music
and just like constantly singing and stuff, and eating loads of frogs legs and boil these tadpoles,
it's like popcorn tadpoles.
Oh god, it's gruesome. But yes, in what films do you see, you know, an elderly disabled woman as the hero of the piece?
But she is from the beginning,
from the get-go.
You see her as this kind of a main character. She is the main headline character almost in this film.
She definitely is.
You know, you almost love her from the beginning. She wears these glasses that every time she adjusts, her eyes swell with the glasses because they're obviously very strong vision.
It's just
beautiful, really.
It's gorgeous. It's just kind of a love letter. I think it's kind of a love letter to grandmothers of the world, that they've just, you know, they're strong, they're supportive, they're loving, they're caring, they're nurturing, but then they can also kick a lot of ass, you know, when need to, because spoilers, but towards the end they're being chased down by the mafia, and there's a great moment where Granny's kind of, we're just calling her Granny, I don't know the character's name, but we'll call her Granny anyway. Mm-hmm. Probably some French name we probably should have announced anyway. And she stands down, the car's hurling towards her and they're shooting at her with these big guns and everything, and she just stands her ground and she's like, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
And then she kind of, in a very cartoony way, trips up
puts her big boot out.
Yeah. And trips up the limousine or whatever.
And then, yeah, then they fall into the river, but they're also into a boat that they own.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're everything just explodes,
doesn't it?
Just... And they have fireworks.
Yeah, just all come out of the whole boat explodes and fireworks, yeah. And they just go flying in a very cartoonish manner. But it's great. And, you know, there's because it's the top three cyclists that get kind of kidnapped. Yeah. And they somehow kind of the power of the cycling manages to get them kind of through a wall and kind of onto the road.
Yeah,
isn't it?
But only two of them survive. Yeah, remember? One of them.
That's right. No,
is
you're right.
Killed. So
and one of the older ladies just jumps on the bike, yeah, and starts pedaling as well because you've got to speed up to get away from these mafia people. I think I was going to ask who your favourite character was, but I think you might have answered it.
But is it the dog though?
Okay, let's talk a bit more about the dog then.
I don't know. It isn't the dog, but no. It is definitely his grandmother. But I think, you know.
I mean, the dog has a lot of character.
Yes.
But I kind of also think that it's just like, it's kind of there for, I don't know, for the kids or for the entertainment value.
Yeah,
kind
maybe.
Of like, he's kind of just hungry or he's just, you know, he's just.
But he's always hungry.
Yeah.
He's a very hungry.
That's his like main
hungry,
motivation.
Lazy dog.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do appreciate him, like, seeing his dreams are in black and white, which I thought was quite good.
That was clever.
And he's obviously wants to get back to his owner, his master. But yeah, another reason why I don't think it's really about the male lead is because he just kind of seemed like when he's older, there's no expression, there's no nothing. He's just... You know, he doesn't change. There's no emotional change to his face. He's just literally, I'm just going to cycle like a zombie.
But the thing is, though, as much as there isn't any dialogue in the film, at the beginning you see this young child and he's sad. You can tell that he's sad.
Definitely, yeah. At that point, definitely. Yeah.
And but then you see him then as an adult later on and... To me, he's still sad.
Okay.
To me, there hasn't been any change in kind of his facial expressions. He's very stoic and very kind of not much has changed to me. Whereas with his grandmother, you can see she doesn't have to talk, but you can understand what she's going
through. True. I guess with her, there's still expression with her, but again, with her, there's probably not as much expression as we're making out that there is.
Mm.
I think because she wears these big, like, jam jar glasses.
Yeah.
I just didn't really jive with his character. Like, I definitely got with Granny. I was like behind Granny 100% all the time, constantly. Like, yes, 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 go, go, go.
Yeah.
But with him, I was just like, oh, why, you know, why is she even bothering? a little bit.
True.
But I think that's just me. But I just couldn't really relate to him or kind of get behind him. But
I definitely don't think he's a relatable character at all.
Because it wasn't even like it was an obsession for him, the cycling. It was kind of like he was just doing it.
But was he doing it for his grandmother? That's another question to ask.
Mm. I don't know. I think there could have been more said or done with his character either. Animation-wise or story-wise, maybe.
But he had a very, you know, a very recognisable face.
Oh, definitely, yeah. So... His design was one of the most unique designs I've ever seen in animation.
Mm.
But yeah, I just couldn't get with it. What are the reasons that you love this movie?
Like, I think the reasons why I love this music.
You love the music.
Movie from 2002 to 2019 is the fact that each and every time I have watched this, it is totally taking me in on a journey. And the fact that there is no dialogue, but I was able to kind of almost create my own dialogue and understand it. Each and every screen throughout the film, what is going on. And I just think it's a really beautiful film in the way it's made and the story that it tells.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it was a stroke of genius actually to not put any, you know, dialogue in it because it's universal.
Yeah.
You can watch this in any country on the planet.
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah.
You can get the story, you can understand it. Yeah, there's a few bits of kind of French dialogue, but they're totally incidental to the plot. They're just like there. I think one of them is like, no money, no hamburger. You know, I think that was one of them. It's just, they don't even have to say that. It's done with the animation.
You would have known anyway, yeah.
And I think, I don't know who said it, but I think someone said something along these lines. I'm probably misquoting, but they basically said, if you can tell a story with images, it's probably a picture paints 1,000 words, doesn't it? It's probably that. And if you can't tell the story via the visuals alone, you know, what are you doing?
And what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? If it's purely exposition, it's purely just dialogue and things like that, you're not doing what's required as a creator of film, I think.
I agree.
So we've been over the... Did we say, you could just say Granny was your favourite character?
I think I would have to say so.
I think so.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with you.
I'd go out with her for a drink. It would be great.
I reckon she would be quite fun, yeah. I think things would happen, but things would work out in the end, I think.
She would defend you if somebody tried to start a fight with you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask her, do you know anything about the kind of behind the scenes or the making of it at all?
I don't actually. No, there are extras on the DVD that we could have watched.
We could have done that. Maybe we should have done more research. Maybe next time. Maybe.
But I also think for people who hear about this film and then go to watch it, I think that's great for people to watch it and learn more about it, to be honest.
I mean, I came in almost completely blind.
You were.
I didn't know any. I spoke to Dan Keatis, who's been obviously a guest on the podcast, and he'd said, I love it. It's amazing. If I had the DVD, I'd lend it to you. I was like, I'm so glad, you know, you think it's good, because now I've got somebody else to kind of back that up. So, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's quite, you know, it's a short movie, what, 77 minutes, I think. So
I'd say so.
So it's not too long. It's not too taxing. Again, it's an easy watch. You could even, you know, put it on and maybe just, you know, go out and do your business and clean the flat or something, it'd still be there. But I would sit down and watch it proper first.
Yes,
before you do that.
So the next time, if I need some cleaning done, we'll just come over and put the film on.
So here's a question.
Yes.
With the movie, so I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, like a lot of people listening, probably haven't heard of it either.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of this forgotten gem. So why do you think that is? Why is it flown under the radar? Why is it unappreciated?
I think it's probably only unappreciated because it's not matching the goals of films nowadays. It's not 120 minutes long.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
It's not a universe building film.
It doesn't have Chris Pine or Chris Pratt in it.
They do like the Chris's,
and I think it's the fact. I think one of the reasons is because for you to kind of almost understand the film, you need to appreciate the lower characters in it. You need to see them as a real statuette figure within the film. I just don't, you know, I don't think there are many films that are like that anymore. I think maybe there are some trying to be, but for 2002 to bring out that film,
and do you think it was a little before its time?
I imagine so. I think if it was to be brought out now, it probably would have a premiere at home cinema and everyone would go and watch it.
But, yeah, they'd be like, yeah, there is a very art house feel.
Yes, totally.
And I've really enjoyed it. I think we're talking again about our preconceived notions of what beauty is, what attractiveness is, what we expect from a movie.
Yeah.
So we expected to have, like you said, like Chris Pratt, handsome Chris Pratt, or a Chris Pratt, Chris Pine, or a Chris Evans, you know, and...
You forgot about him.
Yeah, he's one of the more attractive of the Chris's. Well, it depends on your taste of Chris's. but I think, and that's what this film challenges, and it doesn't want us to, like you said, it wants us to identify with those characters that aren't, you know, the rugged, handsome men, you know, that consistently the heroes in this. This is, you know, it's an unusual film. It's off the beaten track. but it's still a wonderful kind of a wonderful tale of, you know, persistence and endurance and love. You know, it's a you know, there's a lot of love. She's got a lot of love for, you know, for her grandson. If she'll go through all this just to, you know, to save him.
But I think what's also really great is the male character in this film. He isn't attractive, and the other male characters within the film that you would previously have been, you know, very attractive. Yeah. They've got very, again, it's like the same as the female characters. They're they're large, beyond large, whereas these men who are cyclists, they've got muscles where muscles shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's like he's got his calves are like got buttocks in them.
Yeah, it's like calf implants all over his body. And there's a scene towards the beginning after he came back from a cycling trip, and his grandmother is, if you can imagine, an old school lawnmower. She's massaging his muscles with one of them, and it's just, you know, it's brilliant. Really, it really great.
It's lovely. And there's so many great, like, I'd love to see it again, because I think I missed so many little kind of touches and moments. I know I kind of went quickly through the IMDb, and I know there's a lot of kind of references to history and things that go on, and but like especially in the 1920s section, I think there's a lot of kind of older performers around that time where that they kind of animated and stuff. Yeah. I think that's really cool. Mm. But yeah, I think it doesn't fit our Western, you know, the American kind of English kind of traditions of what we see as heroic, what we see as beautiful. And I think that might have been to its detriment. And again, if we're talking 2002, aren't we?
Yes.
Or 2003, whenever this was. We've got to remember things that animation is popular as well.
True.
We've got to think about Pixar, Toy Story, all those sort of Monsters, Inc. probably around that time. You know, those are the ones that were making money. Those are the ones that people were interested in seeing.
Yeah.
And that's probably why this kind of flew under the radar.
But I also think if you think about those films of 2002, the Pixar ones, to me, whenever I think about them, I think of the colours. They're very bright, you know, very, very bright, vibrant colours. Whereas in comparison in this film, obviously there are colours.
They're muted, aren't they?
But that's not the main thing about this animation. It's not all about the kind of vivid pinks and vivid yellows. Yeah. There are colours, but they are muted. I don't know, maybe to describe the era, I suppose.
Yeah, because it does seem like that, like the 1920s is like a black and white TV when it's like that, and then they kind of zoom out.
Yeah.
And the palette is a bit like when I was talking about seeing the French films, Amelie's a little bit like that. The palette's kind of these kind of yellows and greens. Mm. I think that's a little bit of this. And it smacks of kind of 70s animation, like kind of scratchy animation style. You know, the Aristocats or Robin Hood or, you know, all that kind of hand-drawn style. And unfortunately, that's like a dead art form now. Mm. Recently, for the new Spider-Man movie, the animated Spider-Man movie, Into the Spider-Verse, there's a Spider-Man in that who's like Porky Pig.
Oh, okay.
It's like Spider-Ham. Peter Porker, that's Spider-Ham. It's great. It's really funny, really cool. And it's a nice kind of like throwback to those kind of old Looney Tunes and stuff. And they said, right, we want to do this all hand-drawn. And they went, and all of them turned around and went, we don't know how to do that.
Wow.
They were like, we have no idea how it was done. We have no idea how to even produce that, start, where to go.
That shocks me.
I know, it's scary, isn't it? It's like already in less than a few years, it's become a dead art form because computers and computer animation and CGI has just taken over and has taken off in such a way. I think one of the last Disney ones, I think, was Princess and the Frog, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is actually really good. You should see it.
No, I've seen it.
Oh, it's so good. The music in it is amazing. New Orleans style music. I think it's kind of tragic.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, it's only been, I don't know, like since Toy Story really kicked it all off.
Yeah.
So that's why it's happened. Anyway, let's move on from the sadness.
Oh, yeah.
So Yeah, I mean, is there anything else you want to say about it? Anything you want to add or you recommend about it?
I just think if you're sat at home thinking, oh, what films should we watch? And everyone's like chipping in.
Yeah.
Please recommend this to your friends because it just really is the sort of film that can move you in many ways. And the fact that it's animation at the same time is another thing that I really appreciate about the film. Mm. I think it's beautiful. I think it's a really beautiful film.
It is an absolutely gorgeous film. It's well animated, well put together. You know, we were laughing like all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny. It's sweet. Yeah, it does have its darker moments, and there are a pair of bare breasts at the start. But
you keep focusing on those bare breasts.
Sorry, there's probably reasons. It's probably like deep homegrown reasons why I'm focusing on the breasts. I just kind of a bit shocked when I was like, okay, there's breasts. But I think you can show that to kids and they would enjoy that.
Yeah,
I think
too.
They get a lot out of that, and I think it's quite a good kind of. You know, it's not too kind of kid centric, like, because adults can still enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think it's a gorgeous kind of just a gorgeous film.
I also really like that it's a universal film. Mm. Anyone can watch it.
Exactly. And get something out of it.
Get something out of it.
Exactly. And I couldn't recommend this enough. I think that kind of covers the film.
Yeah.
But I'd like to kind of discuss, because I'm looking to do.
Oh yes.
I'm looking to do a new format for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of time. So I'm looking to do a new format of the podcast, and I want to look, because you are a woman.
What?
You are a woman, aren't you? Last time I checked. Have I assumed your gender? I do apologize.
No, yes, I am. I am a woman.
You are a woman. Just for our listeners at home, because they can't see you, we've got to clarify this. So I want to, because it does, like, as much as I enjoy it, it does get a little bit white, straight male on this podcast so far. So I'm trying to branch out and be a bit more diverse and stuff. So I want to do a podcast that focuses on female filmmakers, actors, performers, you know, storylines, characters, things like that. So I'm looking for a few good women to help out with that. So do you have any ideas or anything that maybe I could look into or could look at? Or would you like, well, first of all, would you like to be one of the guests?
I would love to be one of the guests, 100%. I think I think there are quite a few female directors now.
Mm.
I think what might be quite interesting, if you have the time and energy to look into, is kind of women behind the scenes, like in the creation of films. So script writers and editors. I think I personally would find that very interesting.
Well, you mean we can both do it. How about the next time we get together, we look at, say, top five films directed by a woman, directed and written by a woman.
Yeah.
Would that be cool? And you can do a little bit of research. I'll do a little bit of research. I tell you what, we won't tell each other.
Okay.
Which ones we got?
Yeah.
Because then we can might have the same one. It might be a surprise.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for ones that are maybe not. I'll go a little harder into the research.
Okay.
I'll do a deep dive.
Deep dive.
A deep dive. But yeah, I'll have a look and see what we have, because we, like you said, we've got a lot of people, a lot of women's voices that are now being heard, more so than ever. On, you know, issues that, you know, have, you know, affected women throughout history, and, you know, and the fact that we're getting more female voices out there is an amazing thing. So we'll do a top five. You do the top five. I'll do a top. Technically, it's a top ten. So you're getting your free money's worth.
Yeah.
If you're listening, we'll do that. So directed or written,
directed or written, or
both.
Yeah.
And we'll see what we come up with. So I reckon we'll come up with some cool stuff.
I do also.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Before we go, there's another thing I want to do. So I do this with all of my guests.
Dan, stop taking your clothes off.
Oh God, I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
Jokes.
Jokes, yes. Well, that would turn into a very different podcast. I mean, surely.
Is there a...
like a sexy podcast?
porn podcast?
Well, I mean, there's I know there's a form of like I can't remember what it's called, but I know Sammy from Jack and the Geek Stalk and Sidetracked by Idiots. That's a podcast that I listen to. They listen as well. So that she says she's, I think it's called ADR or something like that, or not ADR.
Is it the one where people talk?
That's exactly it. It's that thing. That's technically tanking.
Yeah.
Is what I hear. And yes. Like sometimes it's like they're a plague nurse and they're trying to treat you for the plague. Mm-hmm. And they're like, everything will be fine. Yeah. You know, and all that. But that's apparently kind of sound porn.
Two friends of mine made a fairly successful YouTube channel.
Really?
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. So they were, what were they doing? What kind of things were they doing?
So they were doing stories. So they would direct and film stories. It would be my friend Chris filming and my friend Matthew, who is an actor, doing the voices. And then they would have people write in, asking them to do suggestions. Yeah.
Wow. So there you go, guys. So get stuck into that stuff. However, that's not what my podcast is about. So I'm going to do the cult film test with you.
Oh, great.
So I do this with all the films that we have on, because I'm really into cult films. So I've listed tropes. I've listed 71 tropes. So
71 questions.
That's right. But we'll blitz through them.
Great.
Okay, we'll blitz through
them. Let's do it.
Okay. So does it feature? Does Belleville Rendezvous feature excessive violence?
No.
Okay. Does it feature buckets of blood?
No.
Now, I want you to keep count of these as well, if you can. So if it gets a yes.
Oh, fine.
So not a no. No's is, you know.
Okay.
Does it feature gratuitous nudity?
No.
No. The bare breasts at the start, which I keep bringing. No, it's within the performance. It's within the theme. Does it feature over-the-top acting? It's a hard one, isn't it? Could you say
over the top?
I mean, it's animated, so you could argue, and there's not much dialogue to show.
So I'm going to say yes, because there is no dialogue.
Fair enough. Yeah, so I guess it has to be physically. It has to be quite some of the, like, the grimacing. I know the other bikers, the other cyclists,
the way when they ran out of breath, their faces were just all over the place.
It's like a death mask or a zombie face or something. So, yeah. So we'll go with yes on that one.
Yeah.
Does it feature a ludicrous premise?
No.
Does it feature an experienced elder actor?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it feature quotable dialogue? No.
No.
Does it feature a martial arts display?
No.
Does it feature gunplay?
No.
There are guns. There are guns and firing of the guns.
Play.
For this, I'd probably say any use of guns. Or
all right, we'll say yes.
So we'll say yes for gunplay. Does it feature a professional sport?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. Cycling. Does it feature body swapping?
No.
No. Does it feature smart characters making stupid decisions? No? No? Okay.
No.
Does it feature the non-threatening made threatening?
I don't know what that is.
So, for example, a horror movie about frogs, because they're not threatening, are they?
Oh, right.
I mean, the mafia are pretty threatening.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess, I mean, they're an understandably threatening.
Yeah, so they're not, I wouldn't say they're non-threatening. Does it feature machismo?
No,
definitely not. Does it feature dance choreography? Yep.
You say so?
Yeah, I think so. The flappers at the start, and the naked lady has the dancing. Does it feature a metric ton of drugs?
No.
Does it feature pseudoscience?
No.
Does it feature a post-apocalyptic world?
No.
Does it feature sexual fetishes?
No.
Does it feature a diverse cast?
Oh, they're French.
French, that's diverse.
I'd say
they're mostly white, aren't they? The protagonists are white.
So no.
So does it feature a heist?
The kidnap.
A heist? No, because I think a heist is like a really planned out kind of robbery.
Fine.
I think if you like what a heist film would be, that's how I kind of consider it.
All right,
you
know, we'll say no
for that. Does it feature a montage?
So would you say the dog's dream was a montage?
No, I'd say that was a dream sequence. I think a montage would be several things going on and chopping in between them. You know, like Rocky. You know, well, yeah, that's well, loads of different bits of... Nah. Does it feature Cold War politics?
No.
Does it feature a grizzled cop?
No.
Does it feature a conspiracy?
Oh.
So...
It's the mafia. Would that be a concern?
I mean, the mafia stealing them to do the betting on the cyclists. Like you could, you know, and she's trying to uncover where they've gone. You could argue it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, say that's.
Should we say it's a conspiracy? Does it feature a resurrection?
No.
Does it feature an unconventional love story? Now, maybe you could, I mean, love.
I'd like to say so.
I mean, love is, you could argue, you know, the love between a grandmother and her son, her grandson. It, you know, that obviously not a non-romantic.
That is unconventional.
And it is, they're unconventional people, very unconventional characters.
I'm saying yes.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Does it feature sports cars? I don't remember seeing any.
No.
Does it feature little people?
The grandmother's quite...
She is quite small, and she has one leg shorter than the other. So I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
Does it feature an animal in a starring role?
Yeah.
Yeah, tick.
Bruno.
Bruno, good old Bruno.
Bruno the dog.
Because I wasn't sure about this, was I? I thought it was a girl initially, and then there's a big shot of him with it, you know, from behind, and you see the dog's penis. Yeah. But I was questioning about dogs' nipples. I was like, do the boys' dogs have the nipples? Or
I think they do.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. Please write in if you know the answer to the dog nipple question.
With the knowledge.
With the knowledge of dog nipples. Does it feature a strong female lead?
Yes.
Definitely. Does it feature noir-like narration?
No.
Nah. Does it feature Japanese weaponry?
No.
Does it feature creepy children?
No.
Does it feature bullies?
No.
No. Does it feature Nazi-themed anything?
No.
Does it feature a trending fad at the time? So, like, skateboarding or, you know, BMX.
I don't know. Was cycling a fad in the 1920s?
No, I wouldn't call it a fad. Does it feature LGBT content?
It doesn't.
Does it feature body horror?
No.
Does it feature an idiot character?
No.
Does it feature punk, rock, or rap music?
No.
Does it feature a celebrity cameo?
No.
Does it feature supernatural powers?
No.
Does it feature time travel?
No.
Space travel?
No.
An exorcism?
No.
Child protagonists?
No.
Nerds?
No.
The military?
No.
A crazed killer?
No.
A vigilante?
No.
Cults?
No.
Aliens?
No.
Vampires?
No.
Zombies?
No.
Wizards?
No.
Mythical creatures?
No.
Mutants?
No.
Ghosts?
No.
Robots?
No.
Demons?
No.
Witches?
No.
Kaiju?
No.
Giant monsters.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't.
Monsters.
No.
Apes.
No.
Samurai.
No.
Ninjas.
No.
Gangsters.
No. Oh, yes.
Oh, see?
Yes.
See, someone's not paying attention.
Yes.
Vincent Price.
No.
Samuel Jackson.
No.
And the final question, does it feature Nicolas Cage?
Oh, I wish it did, but no.
I wish every film featured Nicolas Cage in some part. How many?
11.
11. So, unfortunately, that doesn't pass... 11 out of 71.
What does it have to be?
I think it has to be 50 or over, technically, doesn't it? I think to...
I'm sorry, Belleville Rendezvous. You're not a cult film.
It's not a cult film. They're not a cult film according to my test, but nobody has passed the test yet, okay. So don't feel too bad. There's very few films I think that would pass that test, to be fair.
That's right.
I think we've come to the end of this one. How do you feel?
That was highly enjoyable.
Yeah, that's enough for you. Got nothing else to say. Got nothing else. I don't think I've got anything else to say, surprisingly, for once.
It was quite a short film.
So. It was a short film, so I guess we've got less to say about it. It was a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
I can't wait to come back again and definitely do this again.
Easy stuff. So, yeah, I'll do a bit of research. You do some research. And, well, you might have even seen most of the films, so you might not need to watch them. You might be like, oh, I've seen that.
Oh, it's fine.
Who knows? Great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, podcast people.
Podcast people.
Podcast people.
So before I go, where can you find this podcast is a good question. You can find it You can find me on Facebook. If you type in at the search bar at the top, if you type in at Secret Boars, my page will come up. Then also, lost my thing now. Where's it gone? Yes, there it is. Type that in. At Twitter, I'm at Dan_Boars. And the podcast itself is Spider Dan and the Secret Boars. If you type that into Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, it's all in those. Go and have a good treat yourself to some free funny and free information. I've been Dan. You've been Alice.
I've been Alice.
You certainly have. You've been a great guest. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
All right. Take care, guys, and I'll see you next time.